If you're listening for the first time, I stole this segment. Stole it. It was called Changing Tracks. I listened to it in England religiously. It was actually on a Wednesday morning. And I thought as soon as I got a radio show, this is a beautiful thing to do. I asked people to share their stories about a song. The segment is called Changing Tracks because it was it's the track that was playing when your life changed tracks. Now, sometimes that's a big moment. Sometimes it's a little moment. Sometimes it's very serious. Other times it's hysterical and entertaining. The key thing is everyone's got one. You just need to tell the story behind the song that means something to you. The email address is melbournedrive@abc.net.au. That's melbournedrive@abc.net.au. And this week's Changing Track is for Lisa. It was 2013, and I was a happily married, busy, working mum with two wonderful children. My 13-year-old daughter, Sarah, was a bubbly, gregarious girl, a hard-working A student who also played piano and loved sport. She had just started Year 8, but instead of being happy, she was sad and often complaining of stomach aches. One morning, I found Sarah sitting in our lounge room in her pyjamas when she should have been getting ready for school. She had all the windows closed, curtains drawn, and was refusing to budge. She was crying and would only speak in whispers. I sat by her side for days. Sarah finally told me that she was hearing a voice in her head saying awful things. To say I was shocked would be a gross understatement. Mental health wasn't even on my radar. Sarah and I were in our GP's office the next day. We shuffled through many referrals until months later, we ended up listening to a child psychiatrist say that Sarah had obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. All I wanted was for the psychiatrist to stop talking and for things to go back to the way they were, because I knew that life was never going to be the same. Sitting in a fog, I heard him explain that OCD is a serious, chronic illness that is sometimes disabling. People with OCD are consumed with unwanted, obsessive thoughts that cause excessive fear and worry. People cope by performing ritual actions because the illness tricks them into believing that performing the rituals will make the obsessive thoughts go away. The rituals become compulsions that are very hard to resist. Finally, I heard the word recovery, and I clung to it. I clung to that hope, like a drowning woman grips a lifeline. I gave Sarah all the love I could and then some, and devoted my spare time to learning about her illness and how I could help her. Sarah commenced treatment. None of this was enough to stop her descent into hell. We were battling a monster. I left work to care for her, as Sarah was no longer able to attend school. Her hands were permanently red because OCD was telling her to wash them constantly. She could still play sport, but not on a regular basis because it was hard for her to leave the house. If Sarah was tying her bootlaces and noticed a speck of dirt on her lace, OCD would tell her that her boot was contaminated, which meant her sock was contaminated, which meant she was contaminated. OCD would then demand Sarah shower and redress or something bad would happen. OCD kept demanding more and more rituals to give Sarah relief from her anxious thoughts, and before we knew it, she was showering up to 10 times a day. We could no longer travel or just go out as a family to visit friends, see a movie or have a meal because Sarah couldn't bear it. Over time, Sarah lost contact with her friends. She could no longer play sport or enjoy life. She deemed rooms and objects in our house to be contaminated and no one was permitted to use them. She slept all day and stayed up all night to complete her rituals. Sarah was suicidal. We were told a hospital admission could help and I was terrified. My baby was only 13. Who would Sarah meet? What if it didn't work? When Sarah was discharged, she could once again function in her daily life, and she had a lot of hope. I wish I could say this was the end. It wasn't. Sarah still faced years of psychological appointments, difficult school meetings, awkward conversations with family and friends. We even travelled across Australia to one of the world's best OCD clinics for treatment. There were tears, sadness, and joy along the way. She was amazing and inspiring. Today, Sarah is in recovery. She is studying at university. She has fallen in love. She enjoys a busy social life, going to the gym and part-time work, and is making her contribution to our world. There is so much doom and gloom being aired and written about mental health at present with the Royal Commission, so I'd like to share some hope. This is my story as much as my daughter's, and we worked on it together. We were in the car recently and a song came on the radio. Sarah said to me, "Mum, I love this song. It's You." I must have given her a puzzled look because she smiled and said, "This is our song." As I listened to the lyrics, tears welled in my eyes. Sure, I may have kept the lights on, but it was Sarah who trudged blindfolded, hands tied behind her back, wearing an invisible lead coat, uphill in a blizzard to find her way home. I felt so honoured to be her mother, so proud, so very proud of her tenacity, humility and courage. And then it hit me. Hope is the best of all things. So Lisa's changing track is Fix You by Coldplay.